Morning, church. Thank you for the round of applause. Yeah, there we are. That doesn't happen very often. Bless you guys. Yeah, got to earn it now. So, but no, that's for God, isn't it? Here we go. So we are on this series, this journey, looking about what it's like to be a Bible shaped and to be countercultural. We know we look at society at the moment and we see problems in society. And I know Sharon and I will often sit there looking at the news, despairing, heartbreaking. If only people knew their identity. So many problems in the world, I think, are because people just don't know who they are or whose they are, where they are, what they are, how they are. If only people knew, I think we would be much better off. And as a church, these are our, are they core beliefs? What do we call these? Values. Thank you. Values. I can't remember if it was core beliefs or values. These are our values. And for this one, particularly importantly, the Bible shaped. We're a people who are Bible shaped. What does that mean? It means that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And so if we want to know how something should work, where better to go than the book that was written by the person who created everything? I think that would be a logical place to go. And so that's what we've been journeying through. And there's a list of some of the talks. If you're visiting, you haven't been to our church while been doing this, then please have a look, catch up on YouTube or on the website to have a listen. And we're currently, just got to mention that, today is the last time for you to put a Q&A, put the Q in the blue box at the back, and hopefully we'll give you the A on the 1st of December. Or if you want to give us the A as well, then that saves a bit of work. But can't promise to answer everything, but it is important that you guys get an opportunity to ask those questions. You know, we want to try and answer them if Joel can. So, yeah, here we are. Identity and self-worth. And when Joel was putting this list together and running it past us as a leadership, I was sat there thinking, which one's he going to give me? And actually, of course, it would make sense, because those of you who've heard me preach before know that I'm very passionate about this subject, our identity in Christ, our self-worth. That's partly why I'm so passionate about the freedom in Christ. And it was great yesterday. We had 32 people in our church finding their freedom in Christ. And it included 9 visitors from a church in Anglesey who were coming down to work with us because they'd never done it before. How great as a church that we're actually having an impact in other churches around Wales. I think that's fantastic. And so that was brilliant yesterday, to see people claiming their freedom. That's not the point of today's talk, but I just want to mention it because it was really great to see. And if anybody does want to know more, please come and talk to us. We will run it again. So, the most important thing for us isn't what we think of ourselves, what we think of our identity. It's actually who God says we are, who you say I am. So what's identity? Let's think about what is an identity. What do we mean by identity, first of all? And I guess it's our individuality. It's our uniqueness, it's our distinctiveness, it's our characteristics, it's our self, it's our character, it's our personality. In other words, our identity, your identity, is what makes you, you. That's what we're talking about when we talk about identity. And so if that's the case, if your identity is what makes you, you, who are you? Is the obvious question. And you're sitting there thinking, well, I'm such and such. So you might give me your name. You might give me your background, your country of birth. You might give me your religion, your culture. But is that really you? You see, we are so used to putting people in groups. We love labels, don't we? The art and science of measuring identity, demography, the study of populations and different groups that make them up. You can go on the website and you can look up lists of people where people have put themselves in a group, got their religion, dare I say it, even denominations. Religion, denominations, income and occupation. For so long, my identity being that I was a vet, actually, that's just what I do. That's really not my identity. Political affiliation. Oh, I've done it. I've mentioned politics in church. Why is it that we make politics a taboo subject in church, yet we're happy to discuss the way we do coming to the table, or where the women should be in leadership, or who should be a pastor and who shouldn't be a pastor, and what makes a member of a church? Why is it that we're happy to talk about that, but we not talk about politics? You know, God doesn't actually, he just sees us. Doesn't matter so much. Gender, sexual orientation. You might identify by something there. Race, age. Whether you're Gen Z or a baby boomer or a Gen X or Gen Y or, what's the new one? Jedi. No, not Jedi. Oh. Colin is gone, Martin has appeared. The heckler in the church. And Brian's always here. But, do you know, none of these really matter to God. He doesn't put you in a box. He doesn't give you a label. He doesn't give you an identity. The problem with labels is if we label ourselves something, we start to behave in that way if we're not careful. Or they're false labels. Whenever I talk about labels, and I always think about the Superman outfit that was in the shop, and it says, warning, this outfit will not enable you to fly. I mean, really, some labels are so obvious. Do we really want to be defined by those labels? The packet of walnuts that says, warning, a packet of nuts that says, warning, may contain nuts. I mean, really, do we need to have such obvious labeling, and do we need those labels in the first place? The trouble with labeling is that we tend to act. But why do we want these labels? Why do we want these identities? It's because we want to belong to something. We want to know our purpose, our significance, and we need to put it in something. This is a YouGov. I was just trying to find some surveys about identity and stuff, and I went onto the YouGov website, and what makes a person Welsh according to Welsh people? You see, even our identity can be our nationality. And these are the results, and I think these are quite interesting. So at the top there, the green is Wales, the blue is Scotland, or the teal, same colour as the church, isn't it? The green at the top is born in Wales. 91% people said of born in Wales said they were Welsh. But right down to the bottom, lived in Wales for up to 5 years, 8% of those people consider them Welsh. No, Sharon, I am not Welsh. But speaking Welsh, 33% of people that spoke Welsh said that was enough to make them Welsh. Interesting, nobody in Scotland thought speaking Welsh would make them Scottish. And so it goes on. One Welsh parent. The point is, these are all labels, these attempts that people have made to try and identify with something. And these people are desperate to identify with being Welsh. We can't even agree on what makes up a group or an identity, a nationality. So how can we agree on other identities? Because there's such a variation, because they're man-made. This grouping is a man-made thing. We're always searching for our identity, where we belong. Anybody know what this is? It's a carrot. It's a nuclear carrot. I had a friend. Yes, he was a friend, Nick, when we were in secondary school. So in the 90s, yes, kids, I'm that old. We were in the 90s, secondary school. And my mate Nick identified as a nuclear carrot. If you asked him, what do you want to be? He would say a nuclear carrot. And we all thought he was absolutely bonkers. But in today's society, some in the world would say, leave him be. If he wants to be a nuclear carrot, he can be a nuclear carrot. Who am I to tell him what his identity is? Seriously? How ridiculous does that sound? I'm sure you can all think of stories of people claiming to be and have an identity of something, And actually, your innermost being is saying, how ridiculous. But society is saying, no, no, no. Anybody can be whoever they want to be. It's their choice. How ridiculous. Do you know, I went on to chat, one of the AI ones, ChatGPT or something, an AI search engine. At university, we're told to be very careful of these. We have to fully embrace them now because AI is coming in, and therefore we have to show students how to use it and how not to use it. And I typed in, can I decide my own identity? And this is what the AI said. Absolutely. You have the right to decide your own identity. It's a deeply personal journey and can encompass many aspects, including your values, belief, gender, culture, and more. It's important to explore and understand what feels true and authentic to you. What feels true and authentic to you. And then it said, is there a specific aspect of your identity you're thinking about exploring right now? Wow, how dangerous. How dangerous is this? This is saying you can be whatever you want to be. If you feel like it, then go for it. The problem is, if we all did this, if we all acted by our feelings, particularly the inward-looking ones, pleasure, contentment, then something's going to break. And guess what? I think society is breaking. And I think this is a big part of it, personally. It goes against truth and reality. If something is true, then it is true. But culture, society today will tell you only if it feels true to me. I refer you back to the nuclear carrot. Was Nick actually a nuclear carrot? No. Will he ever be a nuclear carrot? No. Doesn't matter how much he feels it and wills it and wants it, he will never be a nuclear carrot. I lost touch with Nick. I don't quite know what he's doing. He's probably on the nose of some scarecrow. I typed it into another search AI engine. I haven't put the names up deliberately. But artificial intelligence. See what I did there? Intelligence. Got bunny ears. Can I be whatever I want? And it said, it's possible to be whatever you want in life, but there's always some things to consider. I thought, oh, that's better. Not quite so, yeah, anything goes. And then it said, believe in yourself. And there was a little bit under that. You can make your dreams come true by believing in yourself, visualizing your goals and using positive affirmations. Please note, I am not preaching at this point. I'm telling you what I found. I'm telling you what the world thinks, what culture says, what artificial intelligence is telling us. So you can be whatever you want by believing in yourself. How inward and counter-biblical? Yeah, counter-biblical is that. Consider your skills. Okay, that might be more relevant. People born with skill sets, and some are better at certain things than others. Okay, but we know that God gives us gifts, and he equips us to do the tasks that he's got in store for us. Ask for what you want. Okay, yeah, we can ask God for what you want. But it says, if you know what you want, think about the win. Leverage authority, so manipulate it, and you can often get what you want in life. Wow. Honestly? Four, determine what you want. You can figure out what you want in life by considering what makes you happy. Oh, that's ridiculous. What your needs are, what your personal values are, what gives you purpose, and what activates put you in a flow state. Therefore, you should only do what makes you happy. Got news for you guys. And then have a locus of control. Successful people typically have an internal focus of control, which means they believe they call the shots in their life and choose how they react to their circumstances. That is what the secular world is telling us about our identity. No wonder so many people are searching and actually can't find one that actually is real and authentic. So I ask you again, who are you? Who are you really? And the truth is, you are who God says you are. God is our yardstick of truth. no matter how you are feeling. Feelings are we're in a fallen world. Our feelings are a little bit faulty and they can let us down. But they're also there to wax and wane depending on what's going on. They're to protect us. And we can't just respond to our feelings to work out who we are. Feelings let us down. And Jesus said, if you abide in me, in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So let's look at that truth, because the opposite to truth is false belief. And if you don't know who you really are, according to what God says, then you're either going to live a life that actually is going to have ultimately desire consequences, or you're going to live in bondage to it. But we deal in truth. What is truth? What does the Bible say? And in Galatians 2, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm assuming that most of you have put your faith in Jesus, your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you haven't, please, can I urge you to have a chat with me or Joel afterwards? If you're not sure, can you please come and have a word with us at the end of the service? I'd love to talk to you about that some more. And if it's something that you want to explore, we'd love to pray with you and explore it. But for those of you who have, and I'm going to call you brothers and sisters, ultimately that's what you are. For me, in Christ, we're brothers and sisters. It's Christ in Christ. You have this new position of being in Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And in Ephesians, it says, for one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. It doesn't say you're becoming less dark and becoming more light. It says you were darkness, you are now light. There's no transitional period, it's happened. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are light. And that's true, whether it feels like it or not. You might be thinking, actually, I'm quite a dark person, I'm twisted. But if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, whether it feels like it or not, you are light. But notice you were darkness. So that implies really that in Christ, there's a couple of identities in the Bible. There's those that are in Christ, those who've put their faith in Jesus. And then there are those who haven't, the darkness. So let's just quickly look at the identity of the non-believer. Before you were Christians, God saw you in a completely different way than he does now. And there's scripture to back these up. Have a look if you're not happy. Darkness, condemned, lost, guilty, spiritually dead, alienated from God, his enemies, children of wrath. What a list. And that's not exclusive. How do we tell non-believers the truth in a gentle way? That's some hard reality there, right there, isn't it? And if we go telling them some of these things as bluntly as that, I'm not sure how well we'll break in. But the sick need the doctor, so they need to know they're sick so they know there's a cure. That's not the point of today, but I was just thinking about it earlier. In between the two services, I was thinking about that list. And I was thinking, that's a hard list. How do we tell non-believers of their true identity in Christ? I'll leave Joel to answer that one in another sermon. So, you knew it was coming. I'm talking about identity. I've got to put in my favourite scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, I love how it's inclusive. Jesus is so inclusive. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Whoop, whoop. The old has passed away. It's gone. It's dead. It's deceased. It is no more. The new has come. I talked about Jesus being inclusive. We talked about nationality earlier. We were talking about culture and background. God has created all humanity in his image. Therefore, there is no Jew or Gentile. There's no Anglican or Pentecostal or Baptist or Methodist or, I'm going to miss some out now, aren't I? Presbyterian, URC. Anyway, you know. There's no male and female. There's no additional list there. For you are all in one in Christ Jesus. You are all in one in Christ Jesus. God doesn't see you any differently by where you were born, the color of your skin, your social economic background, your sex. In Jesus Christ, your identity, we are, brothers and sisters, all one. Jesus Christ has the best identity for us. And it is so inclusive. People tell us how the church isn't inclusive. What a load of rubbish. Anyone who believes. And he's delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Got a new passport. This shows when I created this. This passport, I gave a similar talk to this in about 2016-17 to the Christian Union. And I knew I'd created a passport for the kingdom of God, so I tried to find it. But you can see when I did it, it's pre-Brexit. It's a red passport. Heaven. Passport. You know, when I was in, I used to go to France as a kid every year, 3 or 4 weeks, and go around with Pascal. He was a couple of years older than me, but he had an identity card. In France, everybody had an identity card. And there were certain things that we could do, and there were some places we couldn't go because I didn't have an identity card. He did. His identity card got him into things, and I used to be so jealous of his identity card. I now have an identity card that gets me into the throne room with Father God. Gives me access directly to the creator of this world. I don't think I need to be jealous of anybody else's identity card anymore. And if you're in Christ, nor do you. So, if you've put your faith in Jesus, if you've been born again, you need to understand you are already a citizen of heaven. And you've died to sin. But it's really important that you also know that this isn't anything you've done. So don't be too proud of yourself. It's because of his mercy. And the only identity that really matters of any eternal significance is who you are in Christ. Are you in him or are you not in him? And if you're in him, there are so many promises that are true. Those of you who are on the Freedom in Christ course will have gone through some of these. Some of you who've done it will know. Some of you who heard me preach will know. This list is by no means exhaustive. But these are true because they're in the Bible. And I make no apology for standing firm on that word. According to the Bible, if you're in Christ, you're a child of God. You are not condemned. One of Joel's favorite passages, scriptures, verses. You are a new creation. My favorite verse. You're saints. Some people on the Freedom in Christ course really struggle with the idea that they're saints, they're holy, set apart. But I don't know. There's a lovely ring to St. John. I just think it works. But you're all saints. Got St. Colin sitting in front of me and St. Brian here. Set apart, holy. You're blameless, you're loved. Oh, that people would know they were loved. Wouldn't that save a lot of problems in the world? Predestined. There's a plan. Adopted, accepted, redeemed, forgiven, secure. Oh, that everybody would know their security. Complete. Nothing more to be added. Perfect. That's usually one that a lot of women struggle with. But we all can struggle with that one. You are perfect in Christ. You might think there's something wrong with me. Wrong with me? Wrong with you? I'm perfect. You might think there's something wrong with you. But actually, do you know what? In Christ, you're perfect. You are exactly the person that he wanted for the job and the roles that he's got for you. Only you can do them. So if you've put your faith in Jesus, been born again, these are true. And I want to encourage you, see how many come from Ephesians 1. Can I encourage you to do a little study? If you don't write in your Bible, and I never used to for a long time, that's fine. Print it out. But print out Ephesians and underline every time it says in Christ. Because it says adopted in Christ, accepted in Christ. There's loads. I've only put some here. Your stand in Christ in Ephesians. And if any of you are discipling a young Christian, can I encourage you to consider that as one of the areas that you go through with a young Christian? Go through Ephesians and just go through with them everything that says in Christ. Because as a new Christian, they won't necessarily feel or believe that all of those are true about them. But they are. They're a new creation. And therefore, anything in Christ is relevant to them. There are loads. And so what you're doing and what I encourage you to do is finding out the truth and then choosing to believe it. That's right. Choosing to believe it. Belief is a choice. I can't make you believe. Sharon and I brought up Gwenny and Oshan as much as we could, unveiling Jesus to them, showing them Jesus. But I can't ultimately make Gwenny or Oshan believe in Jesus. They've got to make that choice for themselves. Likewise, I can't make you believe that all these statements about who you are in Christ are true. You need to choose to believe them. Romans talks about transforming our mind. That's the only way we're going to make change. And the way we make change and transform our mind is by knowing the truth, believing it and accepting it in our hearts. It's not an easy process. And I know some of you are struggling and saying, John, but you don't know my background. John, you don't know how much I've done in the past. I'm not really forgiven. Rubbish. You're telling me the Bible's not true? There's something wrong with you. No, you're perfect. You've just got to make that choice to believe it. Together, we're going to make a declaration. And I don't know if you invite the music team to start coming up, please. But before I get you to make this declaration, I want you to know what we're going to say together. Because I don't want you to stand and say something that if you're not really sure. And if you don't want to say this, that's absolutely fine. But we're going to make a statement together on two slides where we're going to make that decision, that conscious effort. And if you're ready to choose to believe how we've been created, that we're going to renounce lies that Satan and the world and our flesh and ourselves has put against us. We're going to choose to believe that truth. And we're going to use the full armor of God that is there for Christians like you and me, so that we can resist. And we're going to renounce any identities that the world has tried to give us, because actually we're just admitting, actually, do you know what, Lord? The only identity that matters to us is who we are in Christ. Okay. So I've done the same again. If you're willing and able and want to make this statement and stand with me, then please can I invite you to stand to your feet? And we're going to read this together. If you're not comfortable reading it, that is absolutely fine. I only want you to say this if you really mean it. And if you're struggling and you just want to talk about it more, please get in touch. Either catch me or Joel at the end or info@eliamaberystwyth.com. Okay. Heavenly Father, I choose to believe that you have created all of humanity in your image. I renounce all the accusations and lies of Satan that would seek to convince me that I am somebody other than who you created me to be. I choose to believe and accept the identity of who I am in Christ. I take up the full armor of God and the shield of faith to extinguish all the temptations and accusations of the evil one. I renounce any identities and labels that derive from my old nature, and I choose to believe that I am a new creation in Christ. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We're now going to have an opportunity to respond. We're going to sing a song that talks about some of these truths. And while this song is being sung, the basket's also going to be passed round. For those come prepared and expecting to give, but please, again, don't feel any embarrassment. If you just want to let the basket pass you by, that's fine. But can I just pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have created us in your image. I thank you that for those of us who know you, love and accept you, you give the right to become children of God. And all those promises in the Bible are true. For those of our family and friends that we know who are not in you, help us to know how to reveal the truth in a gentle way that will make them want to explore. But Lord, we know it's up to you ultimately. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for our identity in Christ.